Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Crossland, Corsa and Mokka. Three good reasons to visit the Opel Open Road event.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Droughts, forest fires, floods and melting ice caps are just some of the ways climate change is affecting our world. So what impact is it having on the animals we share this planet with? What animals are on the brink of extinction and why? And how are things looking in our own country? Well, I'm joined now by Aine Ní Lána. Aine, you're very welcome. It's great to talk to you again. Will we start with an overview? What are the ways in which climate change is impacting on animal welfare in general terms?
Morning, Claire. How are you doing? Yes. Climate change, of course, what it does is it affects the habitats. It affects the places where the wildlife live. And if where you live is affected, well, then obviously the wildlife is affected too. Now, what wildlife really want are three things. They want food and water. They want somewhere to sleep and rest. And they want somewhere to breed. And if any, that's all they need. They don't need parties, they don't need cups of tea, they don't need any of that sort of thing. Just three requirements. And if any of those are affected, well then what happens is that the species then is on a heightened to nothing. And this is what's happening with climate change. And if you can move out of the place that's been affected, well that's grand. But if you're a polar bear, let us say, up at the North Pole, polar bears depend on ice. Now the polar bear feeds on seals. Seals can swim, polar bears can't swim as fast as a seal. So what they do is they sit on the ice. The seals are mammals. They have to breathe. There's a hole in the ice for them to breathe. The big white polar bear sits beside the hole. Up comes the seal and bang, your man has his dinner. Now, if there's no ice, the seals can still breathe. But where is the polar bear going to sit? He can't swim after them in an open chase in the water. Yeah. He can't go further north. He's at the North Pole. So the result of climate change, of the world warming up, the removal of the ice slowly by slowly is putting the squeeze on the polar bear and indeed on the walruses and other creatures that depend on the ice as well. So you can see how directly the climate change is affecting a species, an iconic species, if you like the polar bear.
And same too for the poor old panda, the panda who likes to eat bamboo.
Well, no, the panda's a different story in the sense that the panda's over in China. He only eats bamboo and nothing else, how boring. And they're in different forests where this bamboo grows. Now, bamboo is a jumped up grass, the wooden grass, really. And when it flowers, it dies. Now, it mightn't flower for 40, 50 years and there's loads of grass growing leaves for the panda to eat. But with the world warming up, the bamboos are flowering earlier. They put on their flowers, then they die, and there's nothing for the panda to eat because the other ones aren't ready or there isn't things keeping up with them. So his food is just dying out because of the warmth of the world and where he lives. So you can't give him something else because that's all pandas eat. And pandas are under enough stress, God knows, with having hardly anywhere to live in the first place. But now even the places where they are living, the food is under pressure from climate change. So that's not good at all.
Yeah, and if this was happening at a slower rate, perhaps the panda would adapt to another food source, but it's happening too fast.
It's happening too fast from a point of view of species like that. I mean, a giant panda can live for a long time and then, you know, its offspring might be able to feed in something else, but not enough. It's not changing fast enough. And that's, of course, if there's pandas there at all. I mean, if you think of something like the cheetahs in Africa, we had new cheetahs born the other week down in Fota Island to great excitement altogether. But what's happening really to the cheetahs in the warm places in Africa is that the rising temperature is actually reducing the sperm count of the males. So even though they're there running around catching wildebeest or whatever they're feeding on, their fertility is greatly reduced and they're not producing as much offspring as they could, okay, as they should, to replace themselves. So they're becoming sterile, if you like, because of the increasing temperatures, which is so much so in the warm places in Africa. And that's something that, you know, that's their habitat. And if their habitat has been destroyed by this extra heat, that's the end of the cheetahs, which is very sad.
I mentioned drought there at the start, and drought is really affecting the elephant population too, isn't it?
Yeah, do you know how much an elephant drinks?
An
ordinary big male elephant can drink more than 200 litres of water in a day.
In a day?
And a big adult elephant, I mean, the elephants go around in herds. So that's a huge amount of water that they'll need every single day to drink. No, the rivers in Africa, the amount of water in Africa at certain times with the droughts, the water is gone. I mean, we see pictures of this all the time from a point of view of humans and crops indeed. But also when you think of if there's no river, there's no waterhole, there's no water for the elephants, what's the elephants going to do? So like their habitat has been changed by the climate change, and as a consequence, the amount of what they can drink is gone as well too. So even something as populous as the elephant, there's lots of elephants, it's beginning to impact on them too.
Ina, come back to our own shores now. Let's talk about how climate change has impacted on our own wildlife here in Ireland.
Well, now we have puffins. Puffins, I suppose, are our seabirds, the ones like the sea parrots with the lovely beaks. And they're particularly affected. I mean, they come ashore and breed in the summertime, but they hang out sitting on top of the water in the wintertime. And there are more and more Atlantic storms, really big Atlantic storms coming in with names on them. And this is disrupting the sea where the puffins are sitting. And then when they do come ashore to breed in summertime, they're supposed to feed on sand eels. Those lovely pictures you see with the lovely silver things on their beaks. Sand eels are not there any longer because the oceans have changed and they can't get other placement food instead that's as nutritious as the lovely sand eels, and their babies are starving in their burrows, so puffin numbers are down. But mind you, it's not all bad news, Claire. We can't be going a corner.
It's very sad, Aina. I feel very sad.
We have the little egret now. The little egret is like a heron that your mammy washed in Persil. And it's absolutely snow white and we see it around the place. Now, when I came up to Dublin first, if I saw a little egret out on Bull Island, I'd really have to get myself seen to, because they were only found in the Mediterranean regions, and that's where they lived. You had to go on your holliers to see this lovely snowy white egret. But since then, in the 40 years since then, snowy egrets, these lovely white egrets, the little egrets, they've come to Ireland, they've come for the summer, they've stayed over then because the winters weren't so cold, and now they're breeding all around the coast. I mean, you go to the Dodder, you go to the rivers, you go to the coast, and you see these fellas walking around with their big yellow legs poking through the mud. They're an extra species into our biodiversity, and you know, and they're great, and they're not an invasive species, they're not doing any harm, they're not pushing anything else out, so they're an addition that we wouldn't have had if the weather hadn't got warmer. So that's a positive thing, if you like, more biodiversity in that respect.
Mm-hmm. Any more new additions?
Yeah, we've got other birds, the cranes. Now, the cranes were always in Ireland for though. And again, the habitat destruction was done by ourselves, because they actually will build their nests and live in big marshy areas. And Carr is the Irish word for a crane, and everywhere that has Carr in the name, place names, Carrclock, Rathcorry, all of these things are all called after the cranes. Now, they're migratory birds. They fly from the north of Europe to the south of Europe, and they don't drop in on us anymore because there's nowhere for us to, nowhere. We've drained a lot of our wet places where they used to nest. But with climate change and all of this change and emphasis on burning fossil fuels and everything else, our bogs now are being re-wetted. They're being, you know, returned back to bogs, because bogs are a great place for holding on to carbon. And in the Midlands last year and the year before, cranes dropped in and stayed. They bred. We've had two pairs might have bred this year. There's certainly a pair bred last year. So the cranes are coming back, because the way we're behaving in Ireland, because climate change is encouraging us to do this, is making the habitats suitable again for the cranes after maybe 300 years since they were here. So that's great, I have to say. And we're behaving in the fashion.
Isn't
like
it
that.
Fascinating, Aina, that if you build it, they will come. So if you make it the environment welcoming for these creatures, they will come back.
Isn't that amazing? And you think, well, I mean, they're flying over and back. It's not as if they're not. I mean, I don't know how we'd have to encourage the corncrakes back. I mean, they're diminishing to nothing, because flying across from Africa to here is all beset with difficulties, and our farming practices have changed here, so there's not hay meadows for them any longer. But one wonders if we stopped. I mean, I'm not saying that we should, or that it's probably possible. But I mean, if we went entirely back to non-intensive farming, presumably the corncrakes would have more successful breeding times and come again. So if you build it, they'll come. And you know, the warmth of the warming up, because we are halfway between the equator and the pole, is making things warmer. Like, the seas are getting warmer around our coasts, and we had all those wonderful basking sharks on their holliers up and down the coasts of Clare and Galway and Donegal and Kerry last summer. And I mean, they were on a curtain holiday. They all seemed to be on their honeymoon, because that's what they were all doing.
And are we happy to see those guys?
That before. And the warming oceans was an encouragement for them to do that.
Are we happy to see those there, Aina?
The basking sharks. Oh, these are basking sharks. These are not jaws or anything like that. These are big vegetarian eating sharks. They open their mouths and suck in water from the sea and filter out all the lovely algae that are in them. And I mean, you know, these big sharks, wonderful creatures. You know, people were so enthusiastic going out to see them when I was down in Kilrush. People were going out in boats to look at these. I mean, it was an attraction. It was something people welcomed. Of course they were delighted to see them.
Aina, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Aina and Ilana there. We'll take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.